You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, I was just thinking about a few things on July the 4th. How many enjoyed the 4th of July, enjoyed your day off? Amen. Hopefully you had a day off. Some people, they were working. Amen. And we thank God for those that are working. Brother James, Officer James was working on 4th of July. But on the 4th of July, I was really reflecting on what God has done in our country and what still needs to be done by the power of the Spirit in our country. I thought about our people and I thought about our pledge, one nation under God, indivisible. One nation under God, indivisible. And I started to think about maybe, when we began to turn from God and deviate from God, we lost our cohesion as a nation. You know, something maybe that the founding fathers understood or were praying in their prayer, and it came out in the pledge that we would have one nation, undivided, indivisible, one nation under God. And so when we come out from under what God is doing and come out from under honoring God, things get divided. Things get messed up. And I think somewhere along the way, our founding fathers and the founding members of America that first came together, they understood, and this was the prayer of their heart, that we would turn to God. And the only hope for bringing all these immigrants, amen, together and making it one people would be the power of God. And so my prayer, I think, is that our country, and I think our prayer as the church would be that our nation turns back to God. Because God is truly the only one that can heal the divisions. And when we become once again one nation under God, we will be indivisible. Amen. Amen. So I've been really just excited about what God has been saying through this series we've been on, Undivided. And we've been praying this prayer, God, give me an undivided heart so that I may better honor you. And God, help me to be focused on you. And that was the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 86. And I think it's the prayer that we should still be praying today in a world where life circumstances and things are pulling our heart in about 100 different directions. Our prayer is still, God, give me an undivided heart. Give me a heart that's focused on you. Amen. How many, that's your prayer today? You know, in Judges 20, if you'll go there in your Bible, Judges 20, I just want to speak a little bit out of this story. And something that happened with Israel. And there's this civil war that happens in Israel. And there's some internal strife because there was sin in the nation that needed to be addressed. And I find there's some parallels here between America and Israel here. But there was sin in Israel and it needed to be addressed. And the culprit was this town of Gibeah within the tribe of Benjamin. And there were wicked men in that town that were putting a stain on Israel's reputation and who Israel was before God. And so instead of addressing these men, Benjamin decided to be prideful and rebel against the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation tried to call Benjamin to account and said, hey, listen, address these men in this particular town within your tribe. Bring them to justice. Turn them over. So that there can be justice for this woman that was taken advantage of. And instead of addressing the problem and addressing the sin, Benjamin decides to be prideful. So the other tribes say there has to be justice for the person that was taken advantage of. These men have to be brought to justice. So all Israel rises up, it says, as one. And they say something has to be done. Can I tell you that freedom isn't cheap? to get freedom, you have to fight for it. Sometimes it's a fight for independence from what the enemy has tried to do to control your life. And other times it's a fight, an internal battle, a civil war. And I think that's what we're talking about. In these type of battles, we have to purge the sin out of our life. Israel was having a civil war. It was an internal struggle because of a sin that was trying to be covered up. How many know sometimes we cover up sin that's going on in our lives? We try to kind of brush over it or try to rationalize out, well, this is the reason why. Anybody ever told yourself this is the reason why? You know, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said to me, well, this is just how I am. Amen. And sometimes, just like Benjamin, we're kind of covering over the sin issue when really we need to address that area of our life. And so there's this fight within ourselves between if we're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. There's a war going on in our hearts. And it happens many days. God pulls our heart in one direction, and sin pulls our heart in another. Sometimes at the end of the day, our heart is divided. There's a civil war of the heart. One side of our heart fighting for righteousness, and the other fighting for gratification of the flesh. Amen? It's real. It's real. Look at somebody, say it's real. Whether you've been following the Lord for a day or you've been following the Lord for 20 years, there are issues of the heart. And there's a battle over our heart. You know, about 150 years ago, America had a civil war. One group of people thought one way. The other group of people thought another way. One group wanted to pull apart and separate and be divided. And the other wanted to fix the problem and stay together. Amen? There's a great war over unity. There always is. But what about the war over your heart? This is the greatest war. The war over the heart of man. If you think about it, all wickedness, all problems that we deal with in the world today, all problems that we deal with in our nation emanate from the war within the heart. One part of the heart wants to be righteous. It longs to be back the way that God created. And the other part is warring with that. It wants to do the desires that it wants to do. Sometimes it's pulled in this direction. Sometimes it's pulled in gratification of the flesh. Sometimes it's pulled in an area of wickedness or an area of evil. Sometimes it's just an area of complacency. Now this battle to keep our heart united. Does our heart completely belong to God, or is it divided in our affections? So we go back to Israel, Judges 20. We go back to Israel, and the 11 remaining tribes come together, and they go up, and they're praying together, and they say, now something has to be done about Benjamin and about these men that are wicked. We got to deal with this. We got to address this. And so the Lord tells them, you have to fight. Church, can I tell you, sometimes you got to fight. Look at somebody, say fight. I think sometimes we think we're going to solve problems without a fight. But some things only get solved with a fight. When you're dealing with a bully, you can't rationalize with the bully. You can't have a peace talk with the bully. You can't have a peace talk with the devil. You got to fight. So God says, you got to fight. You have to fight. And I believe, church, we have to fight. We have to fight on our knees. We have to fight with what God gives us the ability to do. Sometimes we have the opportunity to speak into politics. Sometimes we have the ability to speak into education. Sometimes we have the ability to speak into the community. But we have to fight with our prayer and with action. With opportunities that God gives us, but we have to fight. Judges 20:18, before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel to ask God which tribe should go first. Now they realized, okay, so we're going to fight, but which tribe is going to go first to attack the tribe of Benjamin? Who's going to lead us into battle? And the Lord answers, Judah is to go first. So Israel asked God, how do we solve the sin problem? Listen, God says you have to fight. How do we solve the sin problem in our lives? How do we solve the sin problem in our nation? We have to fight. So many times, we're lulled into complacency by the enemy. And you know what? While the church sleeps, guess what the devil does? The devil takes your place of authority. He sits in your place of honor. And God has designed for many believers to sit in places of authority and places of power. But until the church stands up and fights and takes their place, wicked men, wicked women will sit in places of honor and places of authority. So they ask God, how do we solve the problem? He says, you have to fight. They say, okay, but out of the 11 tribe, who should lead us into battle? And God says, Judah goes first. Can I tell you, this is such an amazing revelation for the life of a believer. And I hope that you walk away with this understanding today. If you're going into a fight, send Judah first. If you're going to fight, send Judah first. Send your praise first. Before you even attempt to pick up any other type of weapon, first pick up the weapon of praise. Send your praise first. Sometimes we're trying to fight and we use this method and that method and the other method. But what we really need to do is start with praise. If we're dealing with an issue of the heart, and oftentimes you can trace it back to the root problem of the heart. If you look at any wickedness in the world today, you can trace it back to the issue of the heart. If you look at the problem of racism, you can trace it back to the issue of the heart. So if God touches the heart of man, he solves the root of the problem. So, but now God says you have to fight, but first when you fight, send forth Judah first. Send first your praise. And I want to tell you that praise helps you win the day. Do you want to know a great way to start your day? Praise. You want to win during the day? Praise. You want to know a great way to wind up victorious when you're going through difficult circumstances? You're fighting with circumstances. Praise. When you're in the middle of a battle, what's the best strategy? Praise. The Bible says, don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. And a shout is what? Praise. Over and over, the Bible gives us this thought process, this understanding, this revelation that reverberates throughout Scripture and principle is send Judah first. Send your praise first. I just shake my head sometimes because I see some people don't get it. When I see people, it's time to praise and worship and they're not really into it or they're sitting down. I say, man, I just want to shake somebody and say, if you only understood the power of your praise. If you would just lift up your hands, if you would just open your mouth, if you would just stand up on your feet, if you're really going through it, if you just take off and dance before the Lord, there's something powerful in your praise. We use all kind of excuses for why we don't praise. And let me tell you something, the devil doesn't want you to praise. That's why you put that thought in your mind in the first place. Oh, that's not you. That's not your style. That's not the way you do it. That's Sister Sharon. That's somebody else. Amen. That's not me. But if you understood the power behind praise, when you're going through difficulty, when you're in the midst of your battle, when you're in the midst and your back's against the wall, it's time to praise. And so I've just decided I'm going to do what I do good. I'm going to go back and I'm going to teach the Word of God. And I'm going to keep on circling around the wagons till everybody gets the point that there's power in your praise. When you're looking to overcome adversity, you need to praise. And when you feel the worst, that's the time to praise the most. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever your circumstance, praise can elevate your position. If you are in search for a solution for a problem, it's time to praise. Going through difficulty, it's time to praise. If you're worried or you're concerned, you're stressed out, it's time to praise. If you're upset at life, upset at your wife, upset at your husband, upset at your kids, upset at your friend, it's time to praise. Because when we magnify God, our problems become smaller. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." You see, to the flock that he was shepherding, he said, "Look, I'm magnifying. Get over here and magnify God with me." If you can just understand in the magnification process of God, your problems get small. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Such a beautiful jewel of wisdom there. When you make God larger in your life, you indirectly making everything else smaller. Woo-wee. Come on, church. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I just, sometimes when I get stressed out with things that I'm going through, I just got to get alone with God and lift up my hands and just magnify God. The Bible says, "He that keeps his mind stayed on the Lord, the same will be kept in perfect peace." See, sometimes we're stressed out because we hadn't been praising enough. Sometimes people look at you like you're crazy because you're praising and you're going in. Amen. Because they don't understand the revelation of praise. But that's all right. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And it's incredible because if you really understood what you can gain from praise, everything else is smaller. We were talking yesterday and explaining to a powerful young woman of God, just that it's always going to be somebody thinking that you're doing something strange. Everybody's not always going to like you. There's always going to be one person or two people or a handful of people that don't like what you're doing. Don't like how you're doing it. So you may as well praise. You may as well praise because there's going to be somebody that has an issue with you anyways. May as well have an issue with me for a good reason. Hallelujah. The victory doesn't come from sitting down. The victory comes from standing up and giving God the praise. Not just in church, but in your life, standing up and giving God the praise. The victory doesn't come from being downcast. The victory comes from, no matter what you're going through, giving God the glory. If I'm having a good day, I praise the Lord. If I'm having a bad day, I praise the Lord. Why? Because I understand my victory is in my praise. David said this, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." If I'm having a high, if I'm having a low, David was a man that had to, at a couple of different times in his life, run for his life. Not because he was having a bad day. Not because he got fired from his job. Because Saul was trying to kill him and he was running for his life. And then again, later on in his life, because his son Absalom was chasing him with the whole army of Israel trying to kill him again. But he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when I'm on the run for my life, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why in the world would you say something like that? Because he understood the victory was in his praise. Why would he praise in the middle of adversity? Why would he praise in the middle of the shadow of the valley of death, right? Because he understood that praise was key to victory. You know, when I was young, my mom trained me. She told me, look, when we come into church, especially on times when my face looked wrong, said, look, we praise the Lord. Said, it doesn't matter how you feel. We praise the Lord. That's what kind of family we are. We praise the Lord. If your foot doesn't feel good, you praise the Lord. You just had it out with your sister in the car, you praise the Lord. Amen. You just got a spanking in the car, you still coming to church, praise the Lord. Amen. I was taught that you praise the Lord. You praise the Lord at all times. And she would say things like, you know what? You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. When you come in, you praise the Lord. Your life is not your own. When you come in, you praise the Lord. God is still looking for people that no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter how they feel, they bless the Lord. They stand up and praise the Lord. They lift up a shout to the Lord. Because there's a civil war going on in your heart. Between a part that wants to praise and wants to honor God and wants to do the right thing. And the other side that wants to fall into complacency. That wants to do things that gratify this flesh. You got to praise no matter how you feel. Because somewhere in the midst of praise, God puts you back together. Somewhere in the midst of praise and in worship, God mends those broken pieces, those divided places of your life, and all of a sudden you become united. Your heart becomes undivided before the Lord when you praise. There are going to be some battles that arise in your life, but I want to tell you, send Judah first. Send your praise first. If you send your praise first, you can be confident that God will go with you. Listen, oh my goodness. If you praise first, you can be confident that God will go with you. Why? Because the scripture says he abides in the praises of his people. Come on, church. So sometimes I just need to make sure that God is with me. So I'm going to start praising right now. Because before I go into this meeting, before I go into this situation, I'm going to make sure that God is with me. God has gone before me because I'm sending praise. I'm sending Judah first. Come on, church, I hope you get this today. I hope you get this today because this is going to greatly elevate your life. If you can send Judah first, the Bible says that he abides in the praises of his people. I don't even have to have a good reason to praise. I praise him just in case. I praise him just in case. I might need him in about 5 minutes. I'm going to start praising him right now. It could be a small reason. It could be a big reason. It could be any reason. I don't got to have a good reason. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Jesus said the Father's looking for true worshipers. He said, but the time is coming and it's now here that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, if you don't praise, the rocks are going to cry out. The Bible says that the very earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when you don't praise God, the earth is just waiting there for you. The earth is just waiting in anticipation for you to open up your mouth, for you to begin to praise God. The whole earth is waiting for true worshipers to rise up and to begin to praise. And the devil's afraid of that. Every time you praise, you remind the devil that he was kicked out and you were adopted in. Every time you praise, it reminds the devil that he was kicked out and you were adopted in. Hallelujah. When you begin to praise, you remember your true identity, that you're seated with him in heavenly places and your foot is on the head of the devil. Praise puts you in position. Praise puts you back in the position of authority. I hope that you never stop praising. I hope that you look for an excuse to praise God. I hope that you look for an excuse to praise God. Will you stand up on your feet with me today? Because I believe I came here today to look for an excuse to praise God. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're not going through something. But I want you to get this revelation in your spirit that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And no matter what the devil is planning against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me will be contempt. This is the heritage of those who love the Lord. I just want to lift up my hands and remind the devil what my place is. And I want to put the devil in his place because he's been defeated. He's a defeated foe. Hallelujah.
Come on, church.
For the enemy has been defeated.
Yeah.
Death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make your praise.
Let me pray with you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands on your heart today. Let's do this like this. God, I thank you, Father, for touching our hearts. God, continue to take us on this journey of giving us an undivided heart. Father, a heart that fully honors you, honors your name, honors your ways, God. I thank you. Thank you, Father, for the times, God, that we're having this civil war battle. That battle between what's comfortable, what gratifies us, and Father, what honors you. God, and put those pieces back together. Put our focus, God, back on you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we would have undivided hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.